of a hemophilia treatment center administered disease management program for individuals with bleeding disorders insured by Indiana's high risk insurance pool.
Hi, I'm Natalie Duncan from the Indiana Hemophilian Thrombosis Center, where we do administer a treatment center administered disease management program for individuals with bleeding disorders. Which one makes it go? I do not have any financial relationships to disclose for this presentation. As an introduction, as many in here probably know, a vast majority of health expenditures in the U.S. go towards chronic diseases, which affect approximately 45% of the U.S. population. Since the 1970s, 5% of the population has accounted for 55% of annual health expenditures. Current research has found that efforts to control costs must target those who need the most care. Disease management is an emerging method for improving quality and containing costs, and we've found that the chronic care model is most effective when primary or specialty providers facilitate disease management programs. Bleeding disorders are genetic inherited disorders caused by deficiencies or defects in clotting factor proteins. Hemophilia occurs in approximately one case per 5,000 male births, and von Willebrand disease affects approximately 10 to 20% of the population. Bleeding disorders are characterized by spontaneous or trauma-induced bleeding into joints, muscles, and mucosal membranes, and can lead to chronic pain, disability, and decreased quality of life. In the United States, the hemophilia care model consists of a network of approximately 140 hemophilia treatment centers, which are supported by the Centers for Disease Control and the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. These centers apply a comprehensive care model. They are nonprofit safety net providers, and they are eligible to participate in public health service pricing programs, which allow for acquisition of drugs at government-mandated discounts. The benefits of receiving treatment at a federally recognized HTC is associated with a 40% decrease in mortality among males with hemophilia. That's huge. However, the annual costs of care for hemophilia are estimated to range from about $19,000 to $300,000, dependent on the severity, treatment regimen, presence of joint damage, and other comorbidities. At least 90% of the costs of care are attributable to the cost of the clotting factor concentrate used to treat hemophilia. The Indiana Hemophilia and Thrombosis Center is Indiana's only federally recognized HTC. We employ a multidisciplinary staff of hemophilia specialists, and because of our specialization, we were selected to administer a disease management program for bleeding disorders patients who were insured by Indiana's high-risk insurance pool. We are a nonprofit 501c3 with an on-site pharmacy that does participate in public health service pricing. Our bleeding disorders population includes about 1,300 patients, 650 with hemophilia, and approximately 700 with von Willebrand's disease. As an overview of our disease management program, in the year 2000, ISHA, which is the state high-risk insurance pool, insured 45 individuals with bleeding disorders, and the total costs of their care in that single year were $19 million, which comes out to being a mean of $422,000. So the hemophilia population really stood out to the state as needing some kind of targeted intervention to help rein in those costs. In 2003, our center and the state worked together to develop a hemophilia treatment center administered disease management program, which our hemophilia center implemented in October of 2004. The rationale of this program is that HTCs, being centers of excellence, are best positioned to provide care. We're in a position to proactively monitor health status, make medically necessary interventions, and prevent crises and optimize outcomes when possible. We operate on the assumption that the most cost-effective way to treat bleeding disorders is to provide the best care at the earliest possible point. The program components include close clinical management by our multidisciplinary staff, administration of survey tools, including a knowledge assessment, adherence scale, and quality of life survey, And then we also do close management and monitoring of the clotting factor utilization and cost through the use of public health service pharmacies and pricing, oversight of factor dispensations and reported utilization relative to expected and prescribed usage, and we perform pharmacokinetic analysis to identify opportunities to reduce factor use or optimize effectiveness. And, you know, we find that this is where we can usually realize our greatest cost savings because that clotting factor is such a high proportion of the cost of care. Finally, we do a pharmacoeconomic analysis to evaluate changes in costs over time. This is performed by a third-party statistician who has access to the state claims database. Our outcome measures include mean medical, hospital, and clotting factor concentrate costs, as well as mean resource utilization, looking at emergency room visits, inpatient hospital days, and clotting factor concentrate. We evaluate these outcome measures on a year-to-year basis, as well as the current year relative to the baseline year, which was 2003 to 2004. We report the data. We report outcomes as mean per member per month costs for individuals who were continuously enrolled in a single program year. This allows a comparative analysis from one year to the next and eliminates the impact of patients who were only enrolled for part of a year and may not receive the full benefits of the program. And then we also report mean utilization, resource utilization per patient. Our program outcomes have been pretty good. 3 years post-implementation, costs in all categories remain below the baseline year. The three-year averaged decrease in per member per month cost since the baseline year is 18.6%. And we've also seen pretty good three-year average decreases in resource utilization, especially in ER visits and inpatient days. We've also seen an 8.7% reduction in the use of clotting factor concentrate. This graph illustrates the change in the mean per member per month cost for continuously enrolled patients. As you can see, in all 3 years since baseline, costs have remained below the baseline level. I'd like to draw your attention to year three, where the actual mean per member per month costs were $12,310. However, that per member per month cost includes two extremely high cost surgeries that were medically necessary and occurred during that program year. When we exclude those two procedures, we find that the mean per member per month cost actually goes down by $1,300. That, to us, kind of shows the volatility of the disease state and that two procedures can really throw off costs for an entire year. This graph illustrates the mean costs over 4 years by category. And again, you can see the impact that those two high-cost surgeries, which were a neurosurgery and a pediatric open heart surgery, you can see the impact that those had on total costs and hospital costs. In spite of those procedures, total costs remained below baseline, and when they're excluded, total costs actually decreased relative to year two. And then outpatient clotting factor costs, which of course accounts for about 90% of the total costs, has been pretty well contained and was even lower in year three than in year two. This table shows a mean cost comparison of seven patients who switched from a for-profit pharmacy in the baseline year to a nonprofit 340B pharmacy in year one. Hemophilia patients have a choice between going to a for-profit pharmacy and going to a nonprofit pharmacy. For this disease management program, they're required to go to a nonprofit 340B pharmacy and receive clotting factor at public health service pricing. So you can see that the outpatient clotting factor cost decreased by 41% from year one to year, or from baseline to year one. And that, to a certain degree, is attributable to a decrease in the cost per unit. However, you also see that there was a decrease in the number of factor units for these seven patients of 21%. We attribute that in large part to these patients, because they're receiving some of their clotting factor from the pharmacy at our treatment center, they have increased contact with the treatment center, we're more able to address their needs when they call in for clotting factor, and we, as a medical provider, have a stronger hand in their utilization. Our conclusions from this program are that in spite of medical inflation, mean costs have remained below the baseline level for 3 years since the program was started. Major cost savings have been achieved through the provision of cladding factor at the public health service pricing. However, additional savings have been achieved through careful monitoring and adjustment of prophylactic treatment regimens, which are extremely expensive, early intervention and crisis prevention to reduce the need for hospitalization, and then proactive interventions to reduce joint bleeding and therefore reduce the need for clotting factor. Some considerations to take in analyzing the outcomes of this study. There are some limitations to the healthcare provider administered disease management. Specifically, we don't have direct access to the patient claims data, which is why we have to employ a third-party statistician. And then as a healthcare provider, we do have limited staffing resources in terms of doing our own statistical analysis and information technology. The total population approach study design has some flaws. Specifically, it's a pre-test, post-test design that lacks a control group. We would like to find a control group and have looked towards other state high-risk insurance pools as well as other hemophilia treatment centers to try to get some control data. And then for cost considerations, one thing that might work in our favor is that we do not adjust costs for inflation. However, that's something that I think we plan to do and would really like to do. And then working against us is the volatility of the disease state, which we saw with those two medically necessary procedures in year three. A single accident, a single incident, can really throw off costs for the entire population for a single year, and some of those events are simply out of our control. We think that there's wider applicability to this type of program. Disease management is becoming a trend in chronic care management, and there are many advantages to having centers of excellence administer disease management programs as opposed to a third-party disease management entity. As a healthcare provider, we have greater experience and expertise in treating a specific illness. We have a greater understanding of our own patients and of their needs. We can more effectively coordinate care. And most importantly, we place the emphasis on patient care and health outcomes before cost reduction. And if cost reduction occurs as a result of our interventions, then that's great. I can take questions or maybe save those for afterwards, or if anyone has any questions for me individually, you can reach me at my contact information.
All right, our next presenter is Dr. Beth Benedict, who's been a health services researcher with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for 19 years in the Office of Research Development and Information. And for the past 9 years, she's been the CMS liaison to NIH on asthma. And she also is a nurse and an attorney. And the title of her presentation is Estimated